Of Daniel this evening. Daniel, everybody get the handout? Everybody got a handout? You got picked one up? There's still some more up here if you did not get one. Our memory verse from last week. Can anyone quote the memory verse from last week? You don't have to say it in super fast motion like I do when I quote verses like I've memorized. So, That's how you can tell the difference when I'm reading Scripture. If I'm quoting it, I'm going real fast because I'm afraid I'll forget it if I go slow. Emma? So that things. Things which are seen are not made by things that do appear. That was close. And then verse 6. But without. For he that cometh. Good job. She got it. I'm going to give that to her. I'm going to take a bite because I helped. And Mom can take a bite out of it too because I saw her. good job. That's good. And I know it's harder to say it in front of everybody. It would be harder if I had you stand up here and look at everybody when you're saying it. But, at least for me it is. Anyone else? Anyone else? Garrett? Mm-hmm. Are you asking me or telling me? Good job. All right. Let me give you the verse for next week. Actually, we're not going to cover it yet. It's on your paper there. We're going to start on our outline. I've got a lot of things I want to cover this evening, and I'm not sure how far we're going to get in this. I hope to get all the way through it. I might have to skip it and not finish it and let you figure out what goes in the end at blanks. But in Daniel chapter number 9, Gabriel appeared to Daniel. Bless you. Gabriel appeared to Daniel and gave him the vision of 70 weeks. In chapter 9, verse number 23 through 27, 69 of those 70 weeks are now history. There's 1 week left. We are living in the pause between the 69th and the 70th week of Daniel. And I want to remind you this evening. The basic principles. Well, actually, let's look at the memory verse. I got this in reverse order in my notes. Let's look at the memory verse first of all. Daniel chapter number 12, and verse number 9 and 10. I gave you a break. I did have verse number 8 on there also, but it makes more sense if you include verse number 8. But that's a lot to memorize. Daniel chapter number 12, verses 9. In 10. In fact, I want to read verse number 8 before we go through the verse for a minute. Verse number 8 says, "And I heard, but I understood not. And then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" This is, of course, the last chapter of Daniel, which we're going to get to this evening, hopefully. And verse number 9 and 10. And he said, let's read it together. Daniel 12, 9 and 10. "And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Now, Daniel 12, 9 through 10. I still have written 8 through 10, but it's 9 through 10. Notice in verse number 10, "Many shall be purified." I mean, many shall be saved. "And made white." and tried. There's three steps there. They were saved and made white. They're living for God and tried, tested and tried. The song that we sang, I shall come forth as gold. When you live for God, God's going to test you. He's going to put you through the fire and to refine you, to purify you. The devil's going to take that same fire and try to discourage you and defeat you make you into a carnal Christian. But the wicked, in verse number 10, says, shall do wickedly. They'll just continue to go the wrong direction. None of the wicked shall understand when it comes to prophecy. I'm going to show you some things about prophecy in a minute. But the wicked aren't going to get it. You could put it right in front of their face, they ain't going to see it. But the wise shall understand. Those that are living for not only saved, but walking with God, just being saved doesn't make you necessarily a person of understanding. A lot of saved people don't understand any more than the wicked do because they're not in the Scripture and they're not walking with God. But I want to remind you of something that we gave you from the beginning, and I emphasize this every few lessons. The purpose of biblical prophecy, first and especially the first three points we're going to see this evening, is given to confirm our faith in God's Word. Prophecy is given to confirm our faith in the Word of God. It's not given to help us to see what's going to happen tomorrow. And that's what most people want to see when they study prophecy. The details of prophecy are only seen after their fulfillment. And you're going to see that clearly tonight if we get all the way through Daniel chapter 10, 11, and 12 this evening. And prophecy is all about the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's revealing the Lord Jesus. He is the heart of everything. He is the heart of prophecy. And he's the one that we are looking for. And that's the one that Daniel was looking for. What we're going to look at this evening has been, in fact, the first time I read through this again recently, I thought, what in the world is this talking about? And I would guarantee you, if you just pick up the book of Daniel, you're going to enjoy the stories of Daniel. But when it gets to the last three chapters, you're going to say, what is this all about? We'll just skip over this. But what I'm going to give you tonight is going to help put it into perspective and hopefully explain it a little bit. But what others saw in the past, remember our memory verse. What Daniel saw, God said, I want you to close it up and seal it, and it's not going to be revealed until the end times. Again, prophecy is not seen until after the fact. We're getting to where we're almost after the fact when it comes to Daniel 70. We're almost in that 70th week. What others saw in the past, if you read old commentaries, which I like to do, and old writers or listen to old preachers, you think, well, what they saw is not what we can see today in our lifetime. What my pastor saw that's now in heaven, when he preached in the book of Daniel, he didn't see what I can see today. Laptop computers were an unheard of thing. Cell phones were an unheard of thing back then. In fact, a personal computer was unheard of back then. So many things have changed since then. And most Bible students of the past have focused on current events to fulfill these chapters. And you can look at things. For example, that goes all the way back to the time of Christ. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 31, and chapter 12, and verse number 11, we talk about the abomination of desolations. There is something that took place at the destruction of Jerusalem that many said, well, that was the fulfillment of it right then. That's how they understood the abomination of desolation when someone came into the temple before it was destroyed and offered a pig as a sacrifice. That was the abomination. No, that's not it. That's how they understood it, but they didn't see what we're seeing now, what Daniel sealed up then. Until recently, no one could ever have dreamed of the events that could be understood, that these events in Daniel 10, 11, and 12 could be understood literally to involve the entire world at the same time. With modern technology, we can see how that's very possible. In fact, it is a part of our world today that was unheard of just less than a generation ago. And many things in history, and this is a key statement. I wanted to put it on the paper there, but I couldn't fit it. You need to get this. Many things in history may resemble Bible prophecy or the description of Bible prophecy, but Bible prophecy is not fulfilled unless it is exactly as the Bible says. A lot of things you see, well, this almost fits. This looks a lot like it. But when Bible prophecy is fulfilled, it is exactly. Nothing's guesswork. Nothing's, well, this says this, but it really could mean this. And that's how many people have studied prophecy. When we talk about different nations, we can get into more detail there, but I just want you to get that statement that many things in history may resemble biblical prophetic description, but it's not a fulfillment of Bible prophecy until it's exactly as the Bible describes it. You know what where COVID fits in the Bible prophecy? It probably doesn't even get mentioned in the end. And the things that are so important to us today, they might be one sentence in the end when we look back. America might deserve a paragraph in Bible prophecy, but that's what we're consumed with today when it comes to Bible prophecy. When Bible prophecy is fulfilled, when Jesus comes again, there will be no mistaking. There will be no second guessing. There will be no guessing that they are exactly what God said they would be. There won't be any, well, it says Babylon, but Babylon could mean Europe, it could mean America, it could mean this, it could mean the West. No, it's going to be Babylon. A half a generation ago, we were thought that's impossible. That can't be. And you'll see that. And I just take the Bible literally. To be quite honest with you, I get a little bit frustrated with prophetic teaching because so much of it is guesswork. Daniel said it's going to be closed till we come to the end, and we're starting to see the book start to open up a little bit. But I gave you another chart there to look at in your own personal study, an outline of the 70 weeks of Daniel. We talked about that last week. The 69 weeks, until notice on the very bottom, 69 weeks have been fulfilled. There's 1 week left. The Israel has been scattered all over the world, just like God said. And I'll say this, and I think I have this later in my notes, so I'm going to say it out of place now because I don't know why. Maybe God brought it to my attention. Maybe I'm just my scatterbrain. I don't know. But what Daniel saw from the 69 weeks to the 70th week, the vision that he saw, there was no gap there. He saw the events of the 69th week lead directly in to the 70th week. That 69th and 70th week, we understand now there's 2,000 years break between that. Daniel saw this all as one part. All of what's happened in the last 2,000 years, he saw that as a part of the 70th week. So when he saw prophecy, it's much different than we see now when we look back. And there's other prophets that have filled in details, and now we look back and see exactly how it fits into place. But in Daniel chapter number 10, and I was just going to read through these chapters and comment about them. I don't know if I'll read all of it. But in Daniel chapter, on the other side of your paper, let's just fill in the blanks there. And more than just filling in the blanks, I'd like you to think about this a little bit, all right? I'd like you to take it home and study it a little bit. I'm just kind of going as quickly as I can through this, and you read it in light of current events today. And by the way, the best thing you could do is shut off all the news sources. You get enough news on accident that you'll hear all that you need to hear. And get into the Word of God. You'll be amazed what God shows you when you get into the Word of God and shut off all the foolishness that people are following, even Christian people are following today. In Daniel chapter number 10, as we start out this chapter, Daniel had mourned, he'd prayed, and fasted in verse number 1 through 4. I want you to see this. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. Again, it was longer than what Daniel thought it was going to be. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning, how long? 3 full weeks. He was mourning, praying, and fasting. I ate no pleasant bread, neither gave flesh nor wine. And we talked about the price of prophecy. We don't understand prophecy. It comes with a cost. And living through prophecy comes with a cost also. And the 24th day, in the first month, as I was by the seaside, a great river, which is Hiddekel, and I'm not going to go into the specifics here for the sake of time, he was by this river, and someone showed up. In fact, he was 24th day of the first month. He was there. In verse number 5, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with gold and upaz, and I don't know how to say that, upaz. His body also was like a barrel, his face, barrel as in a stone, not barrel as in a shape. His face an appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, his arms and feet like the color of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw the great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words. When I heard the voice of his words, when I came in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Who was it that, if you compare this to Revelation chapter number 1, there's no question, who is this that appeared to Daniel? It was Jesus. The same description given by John in Revelation chapter number 1. And notice his response. It wasn't like the modern Christian response. Yo, Jesus, what's up, dude? He fell on his face. Was afraid to look up. And notice the words. And behold, an hand, how Jesus speaks to him. A hand touched me and set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. He didn't stand him up, but he at least got him up on his palms and knees. It would be good for Christians if we at least got that far down. But Daniel fell flat on his face when he realized who he was standing before. And he said unto me, O Daniel, O great man, a man greatly beloved, understanding the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. He spoke, first of all, words of comfort to Daniel. And he came to describe in verse number 12, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. And by the way, in the last chapter, when Gabriel showed up to Daniel, Gabriel said, I was there listening for quite a while before I answered. And Jesus now said, Daniel, I've been listening in since the first day you approached me. God just likes to hear his people pray. God just likes it when his people would humble themselves and come before him. He said, I could have answered you a long time ago, but I was just listening in. He came to describe the end times, is what goes in the blank there. The end times, the second coming of Christ. I came to explain to you what's going to happen in the end times. Now, in verse number 13 through 21, this verse number 13, I won't read all of it. We'll look at a few things here. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. It was 21 days I was fighting against the prince of Persia. What is the prince of Persia? And 1 in 20 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. He told of a battle here in chapter 13, or verse 13 through 21, between Michael and the prince of Persia. And it's interesting who the prince of Persia is, the prince of Greece, and Michael himself. But the battle took, and I mentioned, I'll just go through the blanks here so you can get them. This battle took how many days? 21 days. It delayed Christ's visit to Daniel, as it says in verse number 13. The title prince speaks of, when God speaks of the prince of Persia, and later on in the chapter he's going to mention down in verse number 20, the prince of Grecia or Greece. And in verse number 21, Michael is called a what? A prince. So obviously what he's talking about when he uses the word prince is what? An angel. A title prince speaks of angels. In verse number 13 and 20, in verse number 21, Michael is called a prince. Well, that's a clue right there. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7, there's a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels. There's the prince of Persia, the prince of Grecia, the angels. Michael now appears to speak to Daniel. In verse number 13, 16, and 18, it says in notice in verse number 16, and behold one, and now Jesus appeared to him, but then in verse number 16, and behold one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips when I opened my mouth and spake. Now Gabriel Michael is speaking to Daniel, the archangel, he'll soon leave the battle with the prince of Grecia down in verse number 20. Then said he, knowest thou, therefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. As Michael speaks to Daniel, he says, I'm going to be leaving because I've got to go back to this war with the prince of Persia, and now the prince of Grecia is also going to attack. In other words, the empires of this world are controlled and run by demonic angels. And that's something we ought to understand in our world today. Who is it that controls the Western world? Well, the presidents and the kings. No, demonic angels. That's the way it always has been. And that's the way it will be. Now, in Daniel chapter number 11, we're going to jump to chapter number 11. And again, I want to get through with these chapters, and I'm going to have to go very quickly to do that. I want you to see something in Daniel chapter 11. Now, again, keep in mind, Daniel's seeing everything from the 69th week. He doesn't see this 2,000-year pause that we see in history. He's seeing the events of the last 2,000 years as a part of being the 1 7-year period that we're still looking forward to, the 70th week of Daniel. In Daniel chapter number 11, though Daniel himself didn't understand it, and God told him to close up the book because you don't understand it, and nobody's going to understand this till the end times, because prophecy is not understood until we look back on it, and it's now history. In Daniel chapter number 11, the end times are outlined for us. And again, the best way I can see to look at this is a fulfillment of the end time prophecy. And I know a lot of people look back in history and say, okay, well, this is where this fit in, and try to figure it out that way. But I just take it literally for what it says. In chapter 11, we're introduced to three kings. Notice in verse number 1 and 2, and I also thought in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him, and now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. and his strength through the riches that shall stir up all against the realm of Greece. Now, there's a couple of things in this verse that are pretty interesting. He says there are going to be three kings, but then he talks about the fourth one. Now, wait a minute. What is that all about? Remember when Daniel was given an outline of world history? The four kings, one of them's already in the past tense, Babylon. And now he's living in Persia. And what are the other two kings to come? Remember, Greece and Rome. Those are the three kings, the king of Persia, Greece, and Rome. Well, then what about the fourth king? The fourth, that's kind of like saying, never mind, I was thinking of a joke, but I can't remember the exact punchline, so I won't even try. My jokes are bad enough when I do get the punchline right, so I won't even go there. But the three kings of Persia, and then he talks about the fourth king. And this fourth king shall be richer or greater, says in verse number two, the fourth shall be far richer than they all. Now, if we study in previous studies what John saw with the six or seven different kings, he looked back and saw Assyria and Egypt before Babylon and Persia and Greece and Rome. But there's one greater than all of them. He is the culmination of all the empires of the world. And this is the one that's richer or greater, more influential than any other king before. This is the revived Roman Empire. This is what we erroneously call the kingdom of the Antichrist. The Antichrist doesn't come on the scene for some time yet. But notice in verse number 4 and 5, and we're going to see something about, and the rest of this chapter really is describing this fourth king that Daniel saw in the future, which is not mentioned as far as the kings of history. And otherwise, you remember the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, the gold, and this is the feet of iron and clay. This is the empire, we call it the revived Roman Empire, the empire of the Antichrist. It's all the world's empires culminated in one. This is the biggest, the strongest, the most influential empire there ever could be. Now, in Daniel's day, it would have been impossible for one empire to rule the whole world. When they talk about the Roman Empire ruling the whole world, that was just one little corner of the world. Daniel could never have comprehended an empire ruling the entire world when half the world wasn't even discovered yet. So he's seeing something far beyond his capability to understand. And until recent years, it would have been impossible to fully understand this. The fourth shall be richer or greater. Notice in verse number 4 and 5, and when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken, shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion, which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. It'll be broken into four parts in verse number 4 and 5. And these four kingdoms, or four winds. Now you think of the four corners or the four winds of the earth. What do you think of geographically? North, south, east, and west. And that's exactly what they are. Four kingdoms. One from the north, one from the south, that way south, that way is north, that way is south, one from the east, and one from the west. Now you think of that in terms of modern history, when God said we're going to be able to understand this. Daniel couldn't understand it. Much of Christianity, no one could understand what he was talking about. There's a lot of speculation, a lot of guessing, but it was never thought possible that it could be worldwide, as the Bible says, until recently. The north, if you see a map There's a map over there. If you look at Israel, in the middle of the map, what's north of Israel? We think of it north, but it's actually the majority of it's a little bit north and east. What's the And Ezekiel talks about this kingdom, even names the kingdom by its historic name. Anybody want to guess? What's that?
Russia.
Russia would be what we would call it today. That's the land to the north. And again, this is not rocket science. This is just understanding a little bit about current events and looking in the Bible. To the north is Russia. To the south of the land of Israel, you see where Israel is on the map, is really, I just call it the Muslim world. The Muslim world. This is, and by the way, verse number 5, it says, "And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes shall be strong above him and have dominion." His dominion. Now, before 9/11, what did we know about the Muslim world? Very little. But now they are enemy number one in most people's eyes. They are the strongest, militarily speaking, and the most feared of all the kingdoms of the world. And we don't think of them as one kingdom. We think of a conglomeration of many things. And to the east would be, what's the world leader in the east that's about to take over America?
What?
China, that owns America. They just haven't claimed on their property yet. And then to the west, we call it, if you studied in college, the history of Western civilization. That's Europe, and an offshoot of Europe is America. This is Europe and America. Now, the rest of the chapter describes the struggle for power among these four kings. And yet, there's one, if you look at verse number 6, and I wish I had time to go through this whole chapter. I encourage you to read this chapter with these things in mind. You'll be amazed how clear it is in the current events, what we see in our world. It'll help you hopefully realize you need to quit focusing on the petty little things that you read and then hear in the news all the time and focus on the Word of God. The rest of the chapter describes a struggle of power among these four kings and the one who will unite them. And in the end of years, they shall join themselves together. The king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north and make an agreement. Now, again, here's these four, and there's a lot of time spent in the north and south kingdom working together. The east and west are kind of, which, if you're trying to understand prophecy from the viewpoint of current events, you're thinking east and west. But God's talking about north and south are the main players. Because we are the West, and we think the East is our enemy, and maybe the South is our current enemy, as far as God's division here. But this one king is going to unite them for a time. And again, keep in mind, Daniel, and again, here's a statement I guess I have in your paper. Daniel is speaking as a Jew, and who's he speaking to? The Jewish people. When he's talking about the 70 weeks, this is a prophecy concerning God's people. Now, the prophecies of the empire that he gave through the vision that he had and also through Nebuchadnezzar's vision was looking through the eye of the Gentile, but now he's looking through the eye of the Jew. He's speaking as a Jew to the Jewish people. Now, the Gentile world rises and falls between the 69th and 70th weeks of Daniel. The entire Gentile world rises to power and falls between the 69th and 70th weeks of Daniel. That's the age of the Gentiles. Daniel is seeing all these events taking place, and this is where I got ahead of myself. Daniel's seeing all these events take place during the 70th week. He did not see the time lapse between the 69th and 70th week. He sees all this as a part of that last week of God dealing with his people. Now, in verse number 6 through 7, the north is against the south. In verse number 10, and notice this, in verse number 10, And talk about the north and the south. Again, the south is Muhammad's world, or the Muslim world, the Islam world. And here's a description of this world. And his son shall be stirred up and shall assemble a multitude of great forces. And one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. And then shall he return and stirred up even of his fortress. And the king of the south shall be moved with choler, anger, vicious anger, and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the kings of the north. And he shall set forth a great multitude, but a multitude shall be given into his hand. Does that describe the Muslim terrorism or not? You're going to be angry at the rest of the world, and they're going to be willing to die as long as they can kill others. That's the kings of the south. And then in verse number, you go all the way down to verse number 20, and actually verse number 14, still talking about the kings of the southern kingdoms, the Muslim world. And in those times, there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also, the robber, people are getting, hey, we got to do something about these terrorists. Everywhere you go in the world, we got to do something about these terrorists. And what can we do about them? That's the king of the south. And again, these are things that we're seeing falling into place. How Daniel saw them as literal events, but we used to speculate, say, well, that could mean this, it could mean that, but that book's been closed up and we've been guessing for a long time. But now that we're at the end, we can look back and see how this is all falling into place. In verse number 20 through 21, here's the Western world. And notice, this is an interesting thing. This is the West. This is America. And then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes. That does sound like America, doesn't it? The glory of the kingdom. But within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger, neither in battle. America used to be a great gospel witness. Again, this is Christianity that Daniel didn't see. America rose up to be a great witness for God. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. There's what happens to America. There's nobody that comes in and conquers us as a nation, but we're not what we used to be as America. And the reason we're not what we're used to be is not because our military is weak, not because socialism's taken over. The reason we're not what we used to be is because the gospel isn't as prevalent and important in America as what it used to be. That's what God sees, the blessing of America, that God used America to spread, the gospel was spread all over the world through America. But now that influence is gone. So now we're focusing on everything but, and even Christians have lost their focus on the gospel message that America once sent around the world. Now we're trying to send a humanitarian aid. Now we're trying to send a form of government to different parts of the world. We've lost our focus completely on the gospel message that made America, that the reason God raised up America is to send the gospel around the world. And then in verse number 36, and on, the rise of the Antichrist is seen. In verse number 32 and 35, it refers to people who knew their God. Look at verse number, I'll find the phrase here. Verse number 32, and such do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now, this is not necessarily only during the 7 years of tribulation. We'll get to that eventually. But Daniel didn't see the distinction between the last 2,000 years and the 7 years of tribulation. The people who knew their God are referencing, again, Daniel speaking primarily to who? The Jews. They're referencing Jews that are saved and all, the ones that knew their God. And also, and this would fit also, and again, I'm trying not to speculate. I'm just trying to see what we can understand by where our world is, and we're close, we're knocking on the end, on the door of the end times right now, the very end of the end times. They also could include the exploits. You know, they shall do great exploits. They shall go over the world and tell people about Jesus and share the gospel with the world. It could include the exploits of Bible-believing Gentiles in reaching the world with the gospel. And again, this is the 2,000 years of Christianity is a parenthesis in what Daniel saw. But I believe we can see in here that this is where America rises to share the gospel with the world, and really the Western world, which since the times of Paul that first heard the Macedonian call and the gospel first headed toward Europe, and Europe became the gospel hub of the world, and then a new world was discovered, which was America, which then overtook and became the gospel hub of the last 2,000 years, which now has lost its influence and lost its importance and desire to send the gospel around the world. This could be reference to the people who knew their God in verse 32 through 35. Now the chapter ends with the demise of the Gentile kingdoms. And by the way, the Gentile kingdoms include the kingdom to the north, the south, the east, and the west. We're part of that Gentile kingdom. And this is where they're going to end in the rest of chapter number 12, or chapter number 11, in verse number 44 and 45. The tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away. Now, this is the Antichrist kingdom. This is the fourth kingdom. This is the conglomeration of all the one that came in promising world peace. And by the way, our world is ripe and ready and even preparing for someone to rise up and bring world peace. I mean, Barbie and Miss America have been talking about it for generations, right? We want world peace. Now, the whole world, we're looking for this one person to bring world peace. When he comes, he's going to be accepted by everybody. But then, he's going to turn against everyone. And everybody's going to turn against him. Now, we'll get to that later. Where that's going to happen. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly take away, make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of the palace between the seas and glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. This is the very heart of the earth. This is the land of where life begins, where Christ is between Babylon and Jerusalem. This is the final conflict. This is where, now again, for centuries, people said, well, the Bible talks about Babylon and Jerusalem. We don't know if it's the real Jerusalem or the real Babylon. It must be pictures of something. No, it's the real Babylon and the real Jerusalem. And we're seeing that is not only a possibility, but that's falling into place right now before our eyes. And you don't have to be a news junkie. You can just listen to the news you accidentally hear and read the Bible, and you'll see that. Now, verse number 12, Daniel is shown the 70th week, or the Great Tribulation. And this Great Tribulation, now notice verse number 12, or chapter 12, verse number 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, and the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Many of the Jews will turn to Christ during that 70th week of Daniel. This is the Great Tribulation, as is described in what book of the Bible? The book of Revelation. This is Daniel chapter number 12. This is where it's all going to end. Verse number 4, "Thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." If that's not a description of today, do you realize that that phone, I was reaching for my phone, it's over there. I'm not wearing it on my person. Oh no, what am I going to do? That phone has in it more knowledge than anyone could have imagined. The technology that brought man to the moon is nothing with all the rooms and buildings full of computers and people working 24 hours a day by the hundreds, making calculations. Everything that they did could be done in the palm of your hand on a cell phone. Knowledge shall be increased. Not wisdom, not understanding, but knowledge is increased. Oh, we know so much more now. Do we? We might know more, but we don't understand anymore. In fact, it's very obvious we understand less because we got our attention on so many other things. Daniel says, until that time comes and people are running to and fro, you know, it could. You read the days of the period of history where I'm just amazed how people traveled by horseback or on foot most of the time across the country. And it took them months to do it, which was no big deal for them. And we can do it in a matter of an hour or two now. People travel to and fro, travel around the world. Oh, it was an unheard of thing. Nobody would ever have thought of that. I know we're not supposed to remember Columbus, but Magellan was even a much more interesting person than Columbus. If you read people that did some world traveling, my wife was grossed out. She said, "I'm so glad I didn't live in those days when we were in Magellan together." But just to travel around, the first one to circumvent the entire world. And actually, he didn't even make it. He was murdered before he got all the way around the world. The second in command made the end of the journey for him. But the things that they went through to go around the world and the years that it took. Now you can jump on a plane. Or William Shatner just went up and went to infinity and beyond. No, that's not his word, is it? But now it travels. This is the end time. Daniel said, I want that book closed until that time. That time's here. And we look back on prophecy now, and you can see all this. And it's interesting when you read books on prophecy, well, this says this, but it really probably means this. And we see partial fulfillment all the way through history. But right now, we can see everything falling into place. And we'll get more to that next. Father, we pray that you would